You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Defining the Central Valley can be hard to pin down. For the sake of this conversation, the valley spans eight counties from San Joaquin to Tulare counties and is one of California's fastest growing regions. According to projections from the Department of Finance, it could be home to up to 5 million more people by 2060. The Central Valley has also been a political bellwether. Swing districts have determined which party controls Congress. And in recent years, multiple counties that voted Democratic in the 2020 presidential election flipped Republican in 2024. This, alongside a sizable shift to the right among Latino-majority counties and voters, similar to elsewhere across the state and country. So, to help us explore the political history and the changes in the region, we're joined by a pair of political science professors. Thomas Holyoke is from Fresno State and Keith Smith is from University of the Pacific in Stockton. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having me.
Hello.
Well, I'd love to just start by learning what excites you politically about this region. Professor Smith, I'll start with you.
So it's some of what you just said. It's the fact that there's so much change happening right now in the Central Valley that you do see sudden shifts in voting alignments. It's where some of the more competitive districts are, so it's interesting to follow as opposed to a lot of the safe seats around the state.
How about you, Professor Holyoke, down in Fresno?
Well, what always kind of struck me about this is that even though this is still a Democratic-leaning region, the Democrats here are a little different than the ones you find out on the coast. So, I mean, politically, it's kind of worlds away.
Are there misconceptions about the Central Valley and politics in the Central Valley that you would like to clear up? Maybe some common misconceptions, Professor Holyoke?
Well, I mean, even though we see full of Democrats out here, these are not the really ideological Democrats that you might find up around the San Francisco area. In fact, it's not even uncommon for some of our Democratic members of Congress to, you know, criticize Democratic leadership as being, you know, a little out of touch and to sometimes vote against them too. At times there was some strain between, say, Representative Jim Acosta and Speaker Pelosi.
Professor Smith, historically, what have the politics across the Central Valley, what does it look like? I mean, that seems like a simple question. I'm sure it's a little more complicated in terms of an answer.
Yeah, it is. I would say it's very complicated. So painting in broad brushstrokes here, a lot of the politics of the Central Valley reflected California politics writ large. So there was a lot of north-south conflict initially. But over time, the Central Valley became its own entity. And you started to see an inland versus coastal divide, and that really played out in the Central Valley. So the agriculture, the oil industry in the Central Valley, as opposed to the more liberal politics of the coastal regions, became the defining feature.
Migration is a big contributor to the growth of the valley. How has that shaped the political landscape of this area?
Well, I'll talk about the Stockton area where University of the Pacific is. So Stockton exploded with the housing growth in the early 2000s, where people, you know, had a hard time buying a house in the Bay Area and saw the Stockton area, Tracy, Modesto, as a cheaper place to buy a house and live. And so then they moved from the Bay Area to there. They brought their politics with them. And so an area that had been fairly conservative changed into a competitive two-party area and now tends to be dominated, at least in the Stockton area, by the Democratic Party.
Hmm. How about the Fresno area, Professor Holyoke?
Well, the changes out here, we've certainly have had a large influx of migration over the years, a lot of it for agricultural work. And that has, to an extent, increased probably the Democratic voting share and probably highlighted some issues now that were not as important in the past. I mean, healthcare and, of course, the immigration issue are really the paramount issues here today.
You mentioned that a Democrat in the Central Valley may not be similar to a Democrat maybe in a coastal area, a big urban city like San Francisco. So I guess, do they feel that they're being represented or heard either in Sacramento or Washington, D.C., Professor Holyoke?
Sometimes they have complained that they're not. Valley cohesion is something that used to be something you found amongst a lot of the members of Congress out here. In fact, they referred to themselves as Valleycrats rather than Democrat or Republican, although the last few years has seen a lot of strain along those lines and some divisions between the Democrats and Republicans. But still, there's still a fair amount of working together, especially with people like David Valadao, the Republican, and some of the Democrats.
Yeah, I mean, even at the state capitol, there was an interesting shift recently. Assembly Republicans picked a Central Valley lawmaker, Heath Flora, as their new minority leader once James Gallagher terms out. Assemblymember Gallagher is up in the North State. Professor Smith, is this a significant shift? Did this stand out to you? Could it bring more visibility to issues that impact the Central Valley?
Sure, certainly. Anytime leadership comes from a particular area, the issues that are important to that area are going to receive more attention than if leadership comes from someplace else. So it makes a difference to have someone from the Central Valley as opposed to the coastal region. It's why the parties used to mandate that leadership rotate from Northern California to Southern California and then back to Northern California. You could not have multiple successive leaders from the same part of the state. You had to switch back and forth as part of a sharing of responsibility for what's going on.
Given that there are some really powerful swing districts across the Central Valley, is there a lot of ticket splitting in this region as well, voting for candidates of more than one party?
So there is some, but as with the nation as a whole, ticket splitting is fairly rare. If you're going to vote for a Democrat for president, then you're probably going to be voting Democratic down the line. I do think that that's slightly changing as the party coalitions evolve right now. As you mentioned, the growing Republican vote among Hispanic voters, right? So as that gets worked out, then we might see some ticket splitting. But generally, if you're going to vote for a Democratic president, you're going to vote for a Democrat down the line. Party registration, however, which is the thing that a lot of people look at, I tend to think of as a lagging indicator of political support. So you don't go change your party registration. You may vote against your party registration. So you might see districts like the 13th where there's a heavy Democratic registration, but not quite so heavy a Democratic vote. And that's simply because people may have registered at one point under a party and now they're just voting the way they believe.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to those swing districts, I mean, you have the 13th district that you mentioned with incumbent Adam Gray, incumbent David Valadao, Republican incumbent, is a 22nd district. In the 9th district, you have Democratic incumbent Josh Harder. Professor Holyoake, what stands out to you about these districts in the Central Valley? Why are they, I guess, so dynamic politically and competitive?
Well, in a manner of speaking, they aren't necessarily that competitive. I mean, a lot of attention is drawn to the 22nd district, David Valadao's district. He's a Republican sitting in a district that leans Democrat, and it's supposed to be competitive, except he keeps winning. 2018, he lost, was out for one term, and quickly reclaimed it again. So it's actually astonishing that that district representation has been as stable as it is, given that it was meant to be a Democratic district, but won by a Republican.
How have you come to understand that? Why do you think that is?
Well, Valadao, his family has a long history there. He's a farmer. Agriculture is a big thing. He speaks Spanish, and so he connects well with a lot of the Latinos living in the district. And a lot of those Latinos, they may be a registered Democrat, but they are not diehard Democrats. I mean, they're concerned about very, you know, kitchen table issues, and Valadao plays well to that, minimizing the national politics, emphasizing the local politics. In that district, all politics is still local, mostly.
When it comes to party outreach to voters, what does that look like in the Central Valley? Is one party, do they do outreach better than the other or different than the other, Professor Holyoake?
You know, going back a few years, I would have said that I think the Democratic Party did a little better. Especially during President Trump's first term, Democrats were quite aggressive with their outreach, especially on the immigration issue, and that paid dividends for them. It's my impression they have not kept up on that. And I don't think there was a lot of outreach from either party to anybody in these last couple elections.
Hmm. How about you, Professor Smith?
So I also tend to agree that the Republicans of late have done a better job in the Central Valley reaching out to voters and potential voters. I mean, I'll use Adam Gray's district. When you watched the commercials in the last campaign, right, Duarte had a lot more commercials out, but B, he had people who identified as Democrats endorsing him, local elected officials who said, I'm a Democrat, but I'm for Duarte. And they were speaking in English and Spanish in the campaign commercials, right? And so there was an effort to really say this community that is important in this district supports the Republican. And it's okay if you might think of yourself as a Democrat to vote for a Republican in this district. And I think Democrats kind of assumed that because the party registration was one way that those people would use that party registration in their voting behavior, and that wasn't the case.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with political science professors Thomas Holyoake and Keith Smith about the political landscape of the Central Valley. I'm curious, with what's happening in Congress, this new administration, the Trump administration, affecting some pretty core issues in the Central Valley, how that kind of tracks with voters who may be Republican. I think of issues like the trade war and tariffs on agriculture, immigration enforcement. I think of cuts to Medicaid. The Central Valley has a large share of residents who qualify for Medicaid. How do voters and residents across the Central Valley feel about these major national issues and developments that can directly impact their livelihoods and their way of life? Professor Holyoake?
Yeah. So you are, I think I've identified the principal issues. Certainly, immigration is a huge issue, and it's left a lot of fear in a lot of the communities around here, and also had an impact on the availability of labor for agriculture, which is going to start showing up and really hurting. Trade is also an issue that is hurting a lot of farmers, just as it actually did during the first Trump administration, when the ability to export nuts to China ended up being curtailed and a lot of market share was lost. And that caused a lot of damage. The water issue was also something that President Trump said he would fix. He has not done so. And then we're waiting to see what the real fallout from the big, beautiful bill is going to be on the availability of health care, since an awful lot of people rely on Medicaid in the Valley, and that's going to get cut, and hospitals, which are going to get cut.
Yeah, it's upwards of 2/3 of residents in the 8-county region in the Central Valley are on Medicaid. What stands out to you about, is it fair to call it a juxtaposition or in the Central Valley, Professor Smith, that, you know, perhaps if there are voters who support the administration and voted Republican, but then they also potentially stand to be impacted by these major national issues?
So I think a lot of people are waiting to see what the actual fallout is going to be, what the actual consequences are. A lot of the shift towards Republicans was part of kind of broad national trends, concern about the cost of living, concern about household issues, as well as the more localized aspects of kind of agriculture, the flow of water, the oil industry in the South Valley, the kind of sense that the rest of the state was telling the Valley the way that it had to be without really understanding what it was like to be in the Valley, as well as cultural issues about, being more conservative and traditional as opposed to the big changes that happen out on the coast. So I think people were hopeful and are now waiting to see what the actual impact is going to be. They're hopeful that over the long run, things will work out, even if there is some short-term pain right now. But the things that caused people to start voting Republican might turn around and cause them to vote Democratic going forward, right? If healthcare really is impacted in the way that a lot of people expect it to be, with lots of people losing access to basic care, then that's going to be a problem for the Republican Party in the Central Valley. But we don't know yet what that actual impact is going to be.
Finally, I'm curious, asking the both of you, what are you interested in following with the 2026 midterms quickly approaching through the lens of the Central Valley? Professor Holyoke?
Well, I'm really curious to see what ends up happening in the 22nd district. I mean, again, the one time David Valadao lost was a midterm election when Trump was president. Is that going to happen this time? And the cuts to Medicaid may start showing up by then. Cuts to hospitals definitely will. Immigration is going to have taken its toll. So it seems like it ought to be an election where Valadao will be put back on his heels. But on the other hand, the man's a survivor, got to say. So we'll see.
How about you, Professor Smith?
Well, I'll focus on the 13th a little bit closer up to Stockton. And it was a very close election this last time. So will Adam Gray grow? Will there be a reaction against the Republican Party nationally? And therefore, will Adam Gray grow his vote coalition in a way that he barely squeaked by this last election and barely lost the prior election?
Professor Smith and Professor Holyoke, thank you so much for taking the time with us on Insight.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thomas Holyoke is a political science professor from Fresno State, and Keith Smith is a political science professor from the University of the Pacific in Stockton. And we've been talking about the political character and the landscape of the Central Valley. Still ahead, looking for your next summer read. We're going to get the lowdown on the latest Owen McKenna mystery thriller, Tahoe Speed, from author Todd Borg. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.